This is Karen Lyle of Salesport Talk with congratulations to John Arndt. As the 2023 recipient of the Douglas Boswell Perpetual Trophy Yachtsman of the Year Award, presented by the Pacific Interclub Yachting Association. John, tell us how you got your start in sailing.
You know, I was one of those lucky guys that had parents who sailed, and I grew up on the East Coast, and we would sail little boats in the summer in Maine, and I kind of could never leave it behind. So I got started as a kid and just have never stopped. It's amazing for me to discover how many people learned later in life. You know, to me, I was born into it, but so many people actually grab onto it later, and it's kind of a different experience that way, but it's certainly not the one I had. I got it right from the birth.
Your magazine, Latitude 38, started the summer solstice, which began with just a few boaters, but now has over 5,000 that participate around the world. Please tell us about the summer solstice and what inspired you to start that.
Well, I think, you know, one thing I'd like to say, too, since we're on Sports Talk Radio, is that a lot of sailing is not a sport. A lot of sailing is a lifestyle, pastime, recreational activity. And unlike baseball or tennis or other things you probably talk about here, sailing is something you don't necessarily play inside the lines or play for goals and point. Well, and like skiing, I mean, there's a few ski racers, but there's a lot of people who just ski. And sailing is the same. There are definitely very competitive Olympic sailors and round-the-world racers, but most of sailing is an afternoon pastime or a cruise up the California Delta, and it's a very leisurely recreational activity or an adventure. You know, you're exploring the world with sailing. And summer solstice is really meant as a way for the sailing world to put the rest of sailing on display. I think a lot of the world discovers sailing because they hear some terrible tragedy, which is always a nightmare, or they see a billionaire like Larry Ellison with Sail GP, and they think sailing's not for them. But we like to bring attention to Lake Merritt in Oakland or Shoreline in Mountain View and all these places that people sail on small boats. And summer solstice is meant to be a holiday that everybody can participate in, generate awareness and participation and activity in sailing. You know, most people think, obviously, they see big boats, but what they don't realize is on that big boat, there's one owner and usually 10 crew, and the 10 crew are sailing for free. And there's only the owners paying for the boat. And so actually, the vast majority of sailors sail for free, and there's also, of course, small boats that are, you know, as inexpensive as bicycles in many ways, or you can rent boats and things like that. You know, you don't have to own a swimming pool to go swimming. You don't have to own a sailboat to go sailing.
Hmm. Can you think of one story that you would like to tell us about?
I don't know if I can land an individual person, although what we do see is so many of these community sailing centers, you know, Hampton, Virginia, you know, Florida, Alaska, Montana. I mean, these small clubs, which are the ones that's really always been inspired, is the geography that shows up. These little clubs in northern Montana or North Dakota.
Thank you, John Arndt of Latitude 38.
Thank you for that, and welcome back to the program. Rick Tittle with you, coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. You hear the music, you see the clock, 9:40 in the calendar. It's a Tuesday. That means we check in with our friends at SailSportTalk.com. And to help me host this segment, once again, Karen Lyle. How are you, Karen?
I am doing fantastic. Did you know that sailing is not just about boats that don't have motors, but also power boats. So also, they call it, hey, I'm sailing this place or I'm going that way. We call it boating. So today I wanted to talk about boating. That's why we've got our guests.
All right, let's bring in our guests. We're happy to have him. It's Bill Kirvin, the senior staff commodore at the Tahoe Yacht Club. And Bill, I'm a Tahoe guy. Had a cabin up there my whole life, a family cabin, a North Shore guy, Kings Beach to be precise. We always say the most beautiful lake in the world, but it sure as hell is, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. We're all really fortunate. We spend about half the year up there, so we just feel really lucky.
So, Bill, you are now no longer a staff commodore. For those who are new to the flags and how things work in a yacht club, tell us what staff commodores, junior staff, senior staff commodore means in your club.
Well, yeah, most clubs are run by a board, and newcomers to the board come on as a member, as directors at large. And that's kind of a training position so that people get a feel for what the activities are, and also the more senior people get a feel for what the capabilities of the new members are. And those who are inclined and seem to have the right skill set will then go up the flag chairs. And that in a club our size, that's the port captain, then the rear commodore, then the vice commodore, and then the commodore. And once you have been commodore, the next year you're still on the board and you're junior staff commodore. The following year you are senior staff commodore. And after that, you go off the board and you're a staff commodore for life. So, and with no, you're not on the board, you don't have any real commitments or tasks or obligations, but you do reflect a senior understanding of the club and the activities of the club and all that. And you may be asked to do things, for example, being the lead person on the nominating committee for the next board or something, things like that. So I was senior staff commodore last year, but I haven't gotten my new cards because we change our board in September because of the seasonality at Lake Tahoe. So I'm actually a forever staff commodore now.
Very nice. How many times have you walked over from the marina there in Tahoe City to Jake's on the Lake?
Oh, God, lots of times. You know, we've had our place in Tahoe City since 1980. So, you know, a lot of years we were, weekend warriors coming up on Friday and going back on Sunday. And of course, we're now retired, so we spent a lot of time up there.
Bill, tell us about your boat, because you're a power boater and you have a boat that's very typical up there on the lake.
Right.
Your boat and the kind of the conditions that you get there on the lake.
Sure. Lake Tahoe is kind of an interesting place. And your mind's eye view of it is this beautiful, pristine, very smooth, alpine lake with bright sun and clouds and all that. But the typical winds come from the south or the southwest. And when the winds kick up at the north end of the lake, it can get really, really rough. I mean, it can go from a mirror surface day to 3-foot waves in an hour and a half. And so if you're in a Mastercraft ski boat and it kicks up like that, you don't have the boat to really be comfortable in those conditions. So many of the boats are cobalts, which is what we have, and they're nice deep V hulls, can handle that kind of weather. And even then, though, it can get, I mean, you got to pay attention to what you're doing because it gets really, really rough. And they have a lot of, every year people that die up there because they fall overboard in the cold water, and, you know, the water temperatures are about, you know, early in the year, 60 or less, and never gets above 70. And so that can be a real problem. So, yeah, it takes some seamanship, if you will.
How do you guys have your relationship with the law enforcement and Coast Guard as well? Because just the regular people in the speedboats or the Sea-Doos getting a little maybe inebriated or out of hand.
Yeah. Well, I suspect that is a problem. I guess I don't have any real insight to it other than that there is a Coast Guard station at the north end of the lake. In fact, our condo is right the next property over. And then the sheriff's, the lake is split between Nevada and California, right, sort of right down the middle of the lake.
Mm-hmm.
So the sheriff's departments for both states also patrol the lake. So there's a fair amount of presence, but something happens near you, you go over and try to help. That's what boaters do, because people can, particularly the occasional user who rents a boat and goes out and doesn't really, know what they're doing, if you will, and you can get in big trouble pretty quickly.
Well, your foundation sponsors the Concours d'Elegance for the wooden boats. Tell us a little bit about that event.
Okay, that is, the yacht club actually started in 1925. In fact, two years from now, is our centennial year. So we're already planning a big to-do for that whole summer. And originally it was all powerboats. And this was kind of the golden age of Lake Tahoe, and people with really, really and Deep Pockets did high-performance boat races on the lake. And somewhere along, maybe 10 years out, I don't remember the date exactly, they changed the name to a more generic name, the Tahoe Yacht Club. But it started off as a Tahoe Powerboat Club. So powerboating goes way, way back in the traditions of the lake. And the high-speed racing did not stop until sort of the mid-60s, I believe. About the time we started going up there, young folks, and young adults, I guess I'll say, and when the issue of noise and pollution and whatnot became a big issue, and so they pretty much stopped doing that. But powerboating goes way back.
What do you think about, have you seen with climate change, and I remember for a while, you know, they had the Keep Tahoe Blue, and there were a lot of different legislation on it. What have you seen with some of the physical changes to the lake in your eyes?
Well, I guess the changes you notice visually have to do with how much rain you got the previous winter. The snow melt fills the lake, and right now, last year was a monster year, so the lake was really, really full. But the 2 years before that, it was got quite low. And if it gets below the natural rim, the only water going out of the lake is into the Truckee River, which goes through Truckee and then down to Reno. And if the lake drops below the natural rim, the upper Truckee goes dry. I mean, it's just, a rock bed. With some little pools in it, and that's happened 2 years in a row. The last, not counting this year, but the year before and the one before that. So you see that, but that's a year-to-year variation. The big thing people watch is lake clarity, and it had, and they do that by using a big white disc, and they lower that until they can't see it anymore, and then record how deep you went. And the lake clarity had been declining for years, and there's been a lot of effort around the lake to control storm runoff. And then with the big winter we had last year, it got fairly significantly better. But we're going to have to continue to work on that problem because there's a lot more houses there. You got a lot more car traffic, runoff from the roads, et cetera, and all of that hurts the lake clarity, which is what people really watch.
During the pandemic, your club, when it was closed, expanded out into some different sports that are not at all related to sailing or powerboating. Now, tell us about what's continued since then and what you
sure.
did.
Yeah. Well, the way our club works is as the new leadership comes in September, you plan the next year, so it's September to September. And that was my vice Commodore year, in other words, the year before I became Commodore, and you're very heavily involved in the playing. And we laid out a whole year's program with the kind of typical stuff we did. We had a summer golf group, we had a winter skiing group, and then we had a lot of on-the-water stuff, sailing and powerboating both, and a lot of social life. And that was kind of our program. Well, of course, then along comes March of 2020, and everything shuts down. So we couldn't do any of the social stuff. So we totally replanned the summer, and we're in a recreational paradise, but we weren't taking advantage of that. So we started a cycling group. My wife and I are actually the ones that lead that because we've done a lot of biking. We started a hiking group, found a couple that knows every trail, and must know every trail in the Tahoe Basin. Revitalized the golf group, revitalized a bocce ball group, started a kayaking group. All of this outdoor stuff that we could do because it's outdoor, And that was very successful, and we were really concerned about what might happen the end of that first year when people couldn't do any of the social stuff. And membership stuck with us. And now those activities are an important part of our annual program. And we get very active outdoor, active life kind of stuff. And, you know, for the biking, for example, every other week we ride about 20, 25 miles. The hiking group, they do 7 and 8 and 9 mile hikes in various places around the basin. The golf groups now, we turn out 3 to 4 foursomes, again, every other week. All these programs typically are every other week, so you're not just totally burdened every week trying to plan another one. So it's been very successful, and I think this comment that I think I made to you the other night at the meeting is that I think the club is better off because of COVID, because it forced us to do these kinds of things, and now it's really part of our program.
All right, well, we're out of time. We want to thank Bill Kervin, Senior Staff Commodore in perpetuity, like a Supreme Court Justice at the Tahoe Yacht Club. Bill, thanks for your time.
Sure.
Thanks so much, Bill.
Bye now.
All right, and Karen, as always, good hearing from you. We'll see you next week.
Well, now I know that you're a Tahoe guy.
I am a lifelong Tahoe guy, no doubt about it. All right, thanks, Karen.
Next Tuesday.
All right, we'll see you then. I'm Rick Tittle. We'll take a quick break. Come on back.